Blog Talk Radio.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Dadon Tolbert Show. I'm your host, Dadon Tolbert. We have a special show for you guys tonight. My co-host, Londa B, is not going to be joining us today. She actually had a death in the family, so we're just going to wish her well, and she'll be returning a little bit later on in the week. Although I do have two good friends of mine that are filling in. We're actually joined by Nakia, who is a co-host of the Real Talk radio on the Christian Singles Network. Nakia, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on, Dayton? Just happy to fill in. Hi, everyone out there.
Oh, man, I'm really happy to have you here. You always have great opinions, and I know that you have a lot to bring forth on this particular subject. I'm also joined by Dr. Chuck Williams, a very renowned activist, political activist, as well as fellow radio show personality. Dr. Chuck, how's it going tonight?
Dayton, always a pleasure.
I really appreciate you both for being here. I'm excited about today's show. This is a show that we've been talking about doing for a while. This is a show that needs to be heard by, I think, a lot of people in the entertainment industry, as well as other industries. We're going to be talking today about why women are objectified in how they're portrayed in today's media as it relates to, you know, BET, music videos, and even spilling over into just how women, as a result, women carry themselves a lot of times. So we're going to be talking about some of the causes of this, what can be done to, you know, change the perception of how women are portrayed in today's society. And I want to jump right into it. You know, Dr. Chuck, I want to pose this question to you first. You know, I know you have a lot to say on this particular topic. Who, in your opinion, is responsible for women being objectified in the media, or do you even feel that way? Are they objectified? I should ask first.
Obviously, women are objectified. Clearly, women play a role in that. We have to acknowledge that if you want to be a video hoe, that's a choice. No one makes you a video hoe. But on the other side of it, you know, you have stations like BET, and you got certain artists out there. Just pick a name out of a hat, you know, in terms of hip-hop, and more than likely they've chosen to display women in a certain manner in their videos as a way to gain attention and fame and notoriety. And I think they have to take some responsibility for what's happening as well. And I also think that at some point, folks such as myself thought that this would change a little bit, like it would get old, and we'd be able to embrace a new kind of paradigm. You know, there's a way to look good and fine and all that without having to be, you know, naked with, you know, a champagne bottle in the wrong place. And you know how they do. So,
right.
But the problem that bothers me is I, as an educational psychologist, I look at the influence on how children learn to behave and to be who they are becoming. And now you see these young girls out there, and they are dressing like these video women. And I think it's sad. Now, obviously, then you have to bring the parents in and say, okay, what are you doing? Because there's video, then there's sort of there should be the rules of your house and what does happen and what, you know, doesn't happen or shouldn't happen. So clearly there's enough blame to go around. But I do also place some responsibility on the music industry and, you know, mediums and vehicles like BET.
Okay. And Nakia, from a female's perspective, how do you feel about the way women are portrayed in today's society relating to media?
I definitely would agree that women, I think primarily, are responsible for the way women are portrayed in media. I think if we have women who follow integrity more than they do a job, or value themselves and what the repercussions are based on what they do, you know, I think that we would have a more positive outlook. For the most part, if you can't continue to have a job in demand, if nobody wants to do the job, you're going to, especially for entertainment, it's very easy to change the spectrum there if nobody's going and applying for these jobs, nobody's asking or coming to the casting calls, then they're going to say, okay, well, this isn't in demand anymore. The other thing I would add to that is, as usual, it really boils down to the family structure. Whatever you see going on in families nationwide is going to reflect in the crime, in what goes on in education. Everything really stems from that one nucleus, which is the family. And if the family is dysfunctional, if the parents aren't teaching values, then these things are going to be accepted because they don't have a standard core or a normal outlook on what a woman's should look like and what a man should look like.
Right. And I want to kind of play the. I think you guys are both raising some very good points. It sounds like what Dr. Chuck Williams is saying is that there's a large amount of responsibility that needs to be placed on the stations like BET, MTV. You know, VH1 for playing these videos, because without those avenues, they would have no outlet to be shown. So I definitely agree with that. At the same time, Nakia, I think that it's, you know, a lot of the responses on Facebook were saying specifically, actually the overwhelming majority of responses we posed this question online today were saying that women they objectify themselves. A lot of people were saying that women cannot be objectified if they don't allow themselves to be objectified. So I kind of wanted to see, you know, Dr. Chuck, how do you feel about that argument of that women bring this on themselves?
As I said previously, clearly they bear responsibility for what they choose to do and how they choose to be portrayed. However, you know, that's like saying if a crackhead want crack, you know, I'm just going to keep giving them crack. If they want heroin, give them heroin. You know, and I like to single BET out when you talk about these, you know, music video stations, because they're supposed to be different. That's supposed to be, you know, black entertainment television. We're here for the benefit of the black community. So I hold them to a higher standard, and I'm allowed to do that. The problem I have is, yes, I think women are responsible for how they're portrayed. However, you know, these music companies and these music television stations, and mainly BET, are responsible too, because, you know, let me talk about BET and the music artists. Music artists in particular, they play both sides of it. They're saying, you know what, I'm not just making music. I remember one person responded on Facebook, because you got a lot of responses on this, saying, well, you know, the rap artists are only going to talk about what they see. But rap artists see lawyers, agents. Why don't they talk about that? Business meetings, a first class on an airplane, having their kids driven, you know, in limousines to private schools that poor black kids can't go to because they can't afford to go to. Why don't they write about that? And the majority of these rap artists who are famous at this point ain't been to the hood in 5, 10,
right,
15 years like they had to back in the day. So why don't they rap about their new life?
I think
because
one thing that I'm sorry, I'm not to cut you off, but I want to focus on that point because you raise a very interesting point. I know the response that you're talking about, and that's a good point that they should rap about those things. But I know Jay-Z said in one of his songs, a very famous line. I'm not going to quote it, but I'm just going to paraphrase it. He said something to the effect of, "I want to rap like common sense, but it doesn't pay to rap like common sense.
That, and I love that line.
Right,
be true to the game and like be real with it. We say, you know what, I'm making money. But don't say to me, because I got half a brain, at least I ain't got a whole brain, got a half of one. Don't say to me, I'm just rapping about what I see. I mean, I'm just keeping it real, and you can't blame me for that. You know, I'm so sick of hearing that. No, you're making money.
Right.
You're making money. People in hell want ice water, so you're selling ice water. Even if it's killing them.
Right. You make a good point on that. And I think that one of the major problems is that BET definitely, I think, should be held to a higher standard. I will say that. But I think at the end of the day, BET is a business, and I think that this may be an unpopular view with the viewers and the listeners, but I know that let's just say BET stops playing all the hottest videos by the hottest rappers that happen to contain a lot of quote unquote naked women. And start playing a lot of more of the conscious rap, more R&B that doesn't objectify women. I guarantee the ratings will go down. If it won't be pulled off the air completely, and more people will gravitate to other media venues like MTV, who doesn't have as much of a standard to be held to. Nikki, I want to get your response to that. Is that something that you, and then Dr. Ellich respond? How do you feel about that?
While I agree that there is responsibility that should be, I think that a lot of them should be held accountable. However, I really believe it's a waste of time. They follow the dollar. They follow the ratings. They follow demand. And we could tell them until we're blue in the face that they're killing our communities. Really, it really goes, they're not BET, they're GET, they're green. They really concern themselves with the money. And I think it's better for us to invest in awareness for teenagers, for parents, and for children, to invest in awareness as to what, you know, certain activities to explain to them what certain body language, what types of clothes, different dances, what they symbolize, what that's telling someone else about you. I think if we do that in our elementary and middle schools, I think that could be beneficial. I think teaching parents about just protecting their kids' innocence and why they should protect innocence, why certain things lead to other things when they're being exposed to stuff on TV, I think that could do some good. But I really think that we should really invest more in family, invest more in reinstituting values and integrity we seem to have lost in our community, but not just our community. The nation really has lost a lot of integrity, lost a lot of just core values we used to have, and that's due to the media, that's due to the MTV generation, due to BET. A lot of that has to do with, we can thank reality TV for us losing a lot of stuff. I really think that they're not going to hear our voice. I think that it's like an economic principle. It's supply and demand. If we change the demand, they'll change the supply.
Right, Dr. Chuck, I want to get your opinion on from that perspective from a business standpoint. What do you think would happen though if BET totally, specifically BET, changed up their programming and just said, hey, look, you know what? We do have a responsibility to our children. We have a responsibility to our community. We're not going to play. If you artists want to play these, produce these videos, we're not with naked women. We're not going to play them. In your opinion, what do you think would be the response from that?
Nakia, is it?
Yeah.
Nakia.
I'll make sure I got your name. You make a good point. Part of my frustration, to really get down to it, you know, is really about two things. First, really, the parents.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I used to do behavioral health. I did it for a number of years. I got out of it because I couldn't put up with the parents. They were just pathetic and trifling, and they gave me a headache. You know, and the excuses that they had in terms of abdicating their sacred, I believe, parental responsibilities. Just stuff I didn't hear of in my whole lifetime. And I grew up poor in North Philly. So, you know, you got a kid, that's your primary responsibility. But today, it's a whole lot of other stuff going on competing for that. The second, though, is the black community as a whole, particularly in certain urban centers. We feel that BET and the music created by these artists reflect who we are as a people.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost like we're saying, yeah, that's what's up. That's who we are. So if we don't see that and we see something else, Daydon, it's okay, are we like that, i.e., are we the Huxtables, i.e., are we the Obamas? I can keep going with that. I feel like it's getting tired that we feel like we can only be like pseudo-thug, punk, drug-dealing video vixen hoes like preparing to go on the set of the next Lil Wayne video. Like, step your game up. Like, what's next? It's 2009. We got a black president. What about the engineers, the business owners, the radio talk show hosts, the educators, the professors, the researchers? What else, you know, can we put out there that young people can grab a hold on to and say, you know what, I want to be that? It's the same stereotype like the past three decades. And I, for one, I'm getting fed up. But it will take us to say, you know what, we're not feeling that no more. Let's bring something else into the mix.
And
but I think laziness and complacency
distorted.
Has prevented us from doing that.
Jump right in, Nikki.
I'm sorry. We're dealing with distorted cravings, but we're also dealing with misidentity issues. When you have those type of issues going on, all you can truly do is try to put them back on track. Now, I agree if we change what they see, then – quite possibly, you know, they'll mimic that. Unfortunately, I have to admit we have that sort of culture where we mimic what we see. You know, with
right.
us, art does not imitate life. Life imitates art. And I think that it's possible for that to happen. But how do we, it's an internal thing also. How do we get them to understand that is not cute for your butt crack to show as you walk down the street. Like,
especially if you're 11.
Right.
Especially.
We're going to talk about that. Let's do this. I didn't want to bring that up earlier, but we're going to talk about that. You guys touched on, and you made some great points about our youth. I want to talk, when we come back, we're going to take a quick break, but I want to talk about the youth aspect of it, and I want to talk about specifically a video of about a five-year-old girl imitating the Beyonce dance to the Single Ladies video, and there was a huge debate that I had online about this over the weekend. So I want to talk about that when we come back and get you guys' feedback. I'm going to play a little bit of New Sierra, and we will be right back.
Let me see you two step if you know he loves it. Ain't no Brought to you by TBND Literary Consultation. Have you been thinking about writing a book for years but have no idea where to start? If so, TBND can help. They will help you gather your ideas and make your literary dream a reality. For more information, visit www.askdaydon.com or call 215-868-8742 to set up a consultation. Next is the Party Light Gifts Incorporated, who specialize in consultation for decorating with candles and candle accessories through home and office demonstrations. Party Light also offers unlimited personal and professional growth opportunities to others. For more information, contact Judy Cox by visiting www.partylight.biz/Judy Cox or email Judy at judycox@comcast.net. Next is Mike Jackson, founder of the Urban Socialite. If you're in the Philadelphia area, come out to the Unfair Advantage at the beautiful Lux Lounge, located at 724 Arch Street. For more information, visit www.goodlifethemagazine.com.
All right, everyone. Welcome back to the Daydon Tolbert Show. If you're just tuning in, we're talking about women that are being objectified in the media through venues like, you know, BET and MTV, and what can be done to change the image of how our women are portrayed in today's society. I'm joined by Nakia, who is a talk show host of the Christian Singles Network, and Dr. Chuck Williams, who's also a fellow radio show personality. And what we'd like to do is I want to talk about a specific video that was just posted on YouTube, and it's about she has to be no more than 5 years old, and she's, you know, it's like a split screen of the Beyonce dance, and then it's her doing the dance almost, you know, as well as anybody I've seen, you know, as well as a little kid can do it. And the debate was, is this appropriate? Is this, you know, some people thought that it was all in good fun. She was cute. Other people were quite disturbed that she was allowed to watch this much BET or MTV to the point where she can pretty much
like a choreographer.
Like it was choreographed by, you know. So, Dr. Chuck, I'm going to let you start out with that. Which side are you on of that debate?
You know, once again, I'm like everybody else. That stuff is adorable. It's cute, you know. We got it. It happens in our family with a cousin, you know, Pookie and them, whatever. We all do it at the cookout, reunion. The problem that I have is that's all you see. Like, that becomes the end of the story. So what happens is all behavior is learned through reinforcement. If you reinforce it, they're going to learn it and repeat it, and it's going to become a part of who they are. So the question you have to ask is, why are these young people, particularly these young girls, like 9, 10, 11, dressing like, you know, video hoes in training? Well, it's because their parents and everybody else around them, the adults, are saying to them, you know what, good job. That's what you should be doing. That's what's up. Keep doing that. And you'll get rewarded for that by putting your video up on YouTube, clapping, cheering, buying you more hoish clothes for tweens, you know. And that's the main problem, because we don't clap, we don't put up on YouTube them, you know, receiving a scholarship or an award for citizenship or for attendance or for honor roll. Or for, you know, for doing productive, pro-social kinds of behavior that will get them somewhere in life, actually. We only promote this foolish sort of caricature of what it means to be black. And that's right. What bothers me about that stuff.
And Nikki, and that's a great point, Dr. Chuck. Nikki, mm-hmm. jump right in on that. Which side of it are you on? Do you feel like it's cute and harmless, or is it as a mother of a young child yourself, how do you feel about that?
No, I'm sorry, Dr. Chuck. I am not amused. It is not cute. I happen to think if he ever thought to do something like that, that girl would be in so much trouble. I'm just going to take it from this stance. I'm sorry, you know, they don't mention them from the Christian Singles Network. I have to take the gauntlet off for a minute. The Bible says to train up a child in the way he should go, and then when he's older, he will not depart from it. Is that the way you want your child to go? Honestly, when you have a child and they're a newborn, you expect for them to want for a bottle. When they're a toddler, you expect for them to walk. When they're a child, you expect for them to talk. When they're in school, you expect for them to perform. There are different stages in life. Why in the world would you jumpstart adolescence and adulthood before it's time? Would you definitely give your child a car before they're 16? I mean, really think about it. We really grasp at things and think they're so cute. I've never thought it was cute. The beauty queens like JonBenet Ramsey, that's not cute. That's perversion. They're not old enough to look like women. If they were, they'd be born women. When I became older, I put away childish things. In other words, when you're an adult, that's when you put away childish things and you act as an adult. But when you're a child, you should be doing as a child does. Nobody has a right to rob them of their innocence. And this is what we're dealing with today. We're dealing with children who are not children anymore. They're children who are just as wise as I am. And you wonder why they feel as though they can do whatever they want to do.
Let me ask you about the certain talent competitions like Star Search and where these young children and even the talk shows that where you have these little kids singing like the Alicia Keys songs, like, you know, is that robbing them of their youth, or is it just
I believe depending on the song, more than likely they don't understand what the song is anyway.
Exactly.
If you have vocal coaches who will tell them sing it with. You know, when I was in vocal training, when I was singing in the choir, there were songs that they had to teach me the meaning behind it, and they had to pull out emotions in me in order for me to sing it with meaning. So in order for that child to sing that song with heart, they had to explain something to them about it. And in that aspect, yes, you're robbing them of something very dear that they can't get back. Once you have knowledge of something, you can't become ignorant once again. In some respects, ignorance is bliss, and children deserve to be ignorant as long as possible until they're ready to have certain knowledge, because otherwise they don't process it correctly.
Correctly. I think that I agree. You're making some excellent points. I believe that a child should be a child and not be and be allowed to enjoy their childhood. I've never been an advocate for those types of beauty pageants where you constantly have an adult or a mentor making them or trying to position them into a beauty queen, you know, because that, you know, at that point it becomes not fun. I'm not sure if you guys actually saw the video, but it seemed like it was just, now my issues with the video are different, but it's not, it's the fact that I don't think she should have been allowed to even be exposed to the Beyonce video. Not necessarily the fact that she was, it just looked like she was having fun from it. It wasn't someone in the background saying, do this. Do it this way. No, that's wrong. Making sure she got the step right. It was just, looked like she was just having a lot of fun with it. So, I don't know. It's something to, definitely up for debate. I think that.
If I could break in here, Daydon. Kids have been playing adults since the beginning of humankind. We play house, we play married. The problem is, you don't want the kid to go as far as playing house where she gets pregnant, you know, at a very young age, where they are actually engaging in sexual intercourse. Most kids don't, though. The overwhelming majority of kids who play house all over the world won't, because they're not old enough to understand what it means, and cognitively they're not prepared to be able to, as you say, handle or address these adult-like and weighty kinds of issues. So I don't think that on its face, when kids play adult, because they see us playing adult, that it's unhealthy for them. But it is unhealthy if it takes if it goes as far as, like I said, them actually having sex, which does happen from time to time. But when it does happen, it's not the fault of the child or even the fault of necessarily the music. While I hold them responsible, those who make the music and those who provide a medium for it, I always hold parents and caregivers at fault, ultimately, for the behavior of any child or young person. So if a kid is acting out like that beyond acting like an adult and playing an adult, which kids are going to do developmentally, that's how they grow and learn, it's the fault of the parent. It usually means that the parent or the caregiver are acting like that in front of the child. The parent and the caregiver are teaching them that this is okay. They're seeing things that they shouldn't see in real life, not on television.
What I want to do,
and the parents and caregivers aren't drawing boundaries and limits and discussing what's appropriate and what's not, which we call, you know, mediation or co-viewing in the literature or the research.
And that's what we need more of in today's society. And that's, I think that's an excellent segue into my next topic of discussion. I want to talk about where do we, as parents, draw the line for what's appropriate and what's not, or you know, where do you, what should our children be allowed to watch? I know that when I was growing up, I grew up in a two-parent household. We weren't allowed to watch television. There definitely wasn't BET in the house, and the only shows we watched were or were allowed to watch were The Cosby Show and sometimes A Different World. So I want to talk for a second about, you know, how do you guys feel about that from a standpoint? I mean, obviously growing up back then was a lot different than it is now. Should kids be have access to regular television and music videos? And if so, should it just be monitored? Where do we draw the line as far as what's appropriate and what's not? Nikki, I want to start with you, seeing, you know, you are a child, a mother of a young child, so what's appropriate and what's not?
In a way, I've actually followed after my parents, where I was very restricted on what I could listen to. We didn't listen to any secular music when I was coming up. At least I didn't. I didn't watch anything unless it was G-rated until I got older. Then I began to listen to more watch more PG-rated films. I think that parents should definitely, of course, your children are going to have a personality. Situations are going to, you're going to have to freestyle. But I definitely think that it's important for you to sit down and plan to mold your child. I think one of the problems is so many parents function as provider and caregiver, but they don't function as a nurturer, an educator, and a molder. And therefore, when you're molding your child, you have to be mindful of what you do and do not want them to see. I personally believe that children, as long as they're, you know, under the age of 10, should not see anything PG unless you already have knowledge of what's in that film. But that's my standpoint. I don't think that they should see anything bloody or gory. I don't think there should be violent films. I definitely don't believe in them seeing anything with sexual content or foul language. I think that that's inappropriate. But I went to go see Halloween 2 years ago, and there were children in there, and they laughed.
Right,
and
How do you feel about that, Dr. Chun?
I agree with almost everything she said. There's this new phenomenon, and it's new, and I have to admit, with this one, it's not about race or ethnicity or anything, but there's this new phenomenon where you have, like, even infants, newborns, in rated R movies, and I'm like, what the deuce? What? I can't even enjoy my movie. I'm an adult. I know that this isn't real, and it's all fun and games. But, you know, I went to this horror movie not too long ago, and I had, like, this child had to be, like, 24 months. And this was, like, the bloodiest, nastiest, goriest, adult-themed, mature content movie I've ever seen in my life. And then I saw on the other side of me, like, a newborn, like, wham, like she was, you know, I think she was breastfeeding. And I'm thinking, this is, like, if I have to tell you that that's inappropriate, you shouldn't have children.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Maybe that's where we need to go. I don't want to. How, you know?
There should be some parental training.
I mean, it's horrible what I see nowadays, even in terms of, I grew up in a very Christian household myself. So we could only watch G-rated or PG movies with our parents around. We couldn't listen to certain music. We couldn't go to certain movies, and we couldn't say certain words, like point blank. And we just knew that, and nor did we, because it was just in our minds. It was inappropriate.
Yeah.
Nowadays, you got the mom on the phone with four kids, all different dads, and she cussing up a storm. F this, F that. He did F. Like, I'm like, whoa, you got babies all around, and you cuss them like they paying you for every F word.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't like that when I was growing up. It's like anything goes. Now, we wonder why these kids are violent. They're disrespectful. They have social skills. They're failing. They can't read by third grade. Sure, systems have something to do with that, but the family system is most important. And nowadays, far too many parents suck at being parents. I got to go, Daydon. I got to prepare for my own show.
Oh, Dr. Chuck, man, I really appreciate you being here. Thank you so much for your insight. And
the pleasure was all mine.
Nikki, I want to get your perspective from a certain situation. I'm not sure if you're aware of this incident, but a few years ago, Nelly came out with the video Tip Drill. Are you familiar with that?
No.
Tip Drill was one of those videos that BT played late at night. He played, it was basically you might as well say it was pornography, but it was on their show Uncut. But anyway, there was a scene where he was swiping a credit card through a young woman's, butt, and there was a lot of outrage over this incident. So I want to get your opinion, from a female perspective. Oh, just to also fill you in, Nelly did a tour. He was doing a national tour at the time, and when he went down to Spelman College, the women down there got together and they picketed, they boycotted, his concert. But I don't know if they also knew that he was doing a sickle cell awareness drive for his sister who passed away from a disease. So, I kind of wanted to, get your opinion. Is it possible for, a celebrity who kind of puts themselves out there in a negative light to somehow find redemption by doing positive things? Because in this situation, I really felt like a lot of people shot themselves in the foot. Like I thought like Nelly was down there trying to do something positive, but because he was out there for this Tip Drill video, which was very popular at the time, it was like that all the positive he was doing was overshadowed. And I kind of felt like, people were being a little hypocritical. It's like, okay, we want these rappers and these people in the limelight to step up and do some positive things, but when they do, it's like they're almost held accountable for the negative things that they did. So it's like I feel like they're in it's a catch-22. I mean, what's your feedback on that?
Excuse me, as I sound like the homemaker, because I once was. You never mix your clean and dirty laundry. Okay, and what I mean by that is, I think it's very good for him to do a drive for his sister. He's a human being. He has feelings. He has emotions. He has a life outside of his persona and his image. However, you can't do things like that and not expect for there to be a backlash and consequences for who you portray yourself to be. I don't think that it's wrong at all for him to do a drive for sickle cell. But I think it's distasteful for you to do a drive for sickle cell and have a song like that playing during the concert.
No, it wasn't necessarily playing at the concert. It was just a song that he had done previously that people were outraged over.
And he wanted to do a concert at Spelman, and that was the sickle cell concert?
It was an event that kind of, he did a concert, which I'm not sure if he performed Tip Drill or not. I would assume he didn't, but it was just the fact that he did that at some point. Mm-hmm. They were outraged over it, so they wanted to protest that song. And the concert was unrelated to the fundraising and the charity event.
Okay.
So, is it possible for rappers?
I think that is very possible for a rapper to redeem themselves. I think, unfortunately, they're going to have to grab a new audience. And that's the struggle for most rappers. A lot of them just choose not to do it. It's just better for you to start off clean in the first place because they expect you to be clean. Or you could be something more like Common where you're more awareness, you know, rather than clean or, you know, hardcore. But I think that you have to start off as who you are. When you start off with an image of being a pimp or, you know, being rough or whatever, they're going to expect you to stay that way. That's who they liked you as. I think that is very possible for them to redeem themselves. I think that is wonderful for them to put their energy into something positive. However, like I said, it's just unreasonable and impractical for you to think that you can do that without consequences for what you once said. Everybody holds you accountable by what you say, which is very important, you know, and this is why you have to watch what you say and what you do. That's the only way they can know who you are.
Right. What I got to do, I got to take a quick break, but when we come back, I want to talk to you and pick your brain about, we talked a lot about the problems, but from a female perspective and from a parental perspective, I want to get your opinion on what can be done to actively change society, because I've always been the type of person, I don't want to just talk about it. Okay, we know what the problem is, but what can we do as a people, as parents to, and I'm not a parent, by the way, everyone, but to change the perception, you know, of society and how women are portrayed and just how we portray ourselves as African-Americans to society. I'm going to take a quick break, play a little bit of Beyonce, and we'll be right back.
Yeah.
segment is brought to you by the Octavio Miles Collection, who brings you the hottest women's and men's fashions and accessories. They also offer fashion consultation and demonstrations at private parties. Please visit their stand in Terminal B in the Philadelphia airport. For more information, contact Kenyon Holly at 610-672-9750 or by email at octaviomilescollection@yahoo.com. Next is the Law Offices of Michael Todd Taylor, Esquire. Mr. Taylor is licensed in the state of Connecticut and can answer all of your legal questions. For more information, visit www.attorneymichaeltoddtaylor.com. Next is the Germantown Tax Services, who specialize in rapid refunds, refund anticipation, file now, and pay later loans. Services are provided by Mr. Colin Williams, whose office is located at 5819 Germantown Avenue, Suite 1 in Philadelphia. For more information, visit www.williamsaccounting.com or call 267-972-0758. Mention the Dadon Tolbert Show and get 20% off your tax preparation.
Everyone, we are back on the Dadon Tolbert Show, and today we're talking about the media and how women are portrayed in the media, how African Americans as a whole are portrayed in the media, and what can we do to improve the way that we're viewed by the rest of the world and the rest of society. We've been talking about BET a lot, and Nikki, I want to get your opinion on what can be done, at BET. BET catches a lot of flack for the type of programming that they put on. A lot of people think they are directly responsible because it's black entertainment television, and to a lot of people, it symbolizes who we are as a people, and that's all people, other races see about us on television. So what can be done, or what can BET do, or stations like BET do to improve their programming? And before you answer that, I do want to point out, a few good things that BET does. I don't want it to come off like we are bashing them. BET does do a lot of positive things. They do have a lot of positive programs. I do have some friends over at BET. They do AIDS awareness specials. They have their Wrap It Up campaign, where a lot of celebrities do talk about the importance of wrapping it up and practicing safe sex. They do various political specials. They were very active in the Obama campaign and in the overall election. They had several election specials. They do the BET Honors, the Celebration of Gospel, the Comedy Celebration of Comedy, and the Comedy Awards. So in addition to the BET Awards as a whole. So I don't want people to just think that we're bashing BET as a station. I believe that it is very necessary. And they do some positive things. However, I think it's safe to say that there are some things that they can do to improve programs. So, Nikki, I mean, what would you like to see done or changed over there at BET specifically?
Actually, it kind of takes me back to school where I was taught in journalism that the media is really a mirror. It's a reflection of what society is. And what BET is unfortunately a reflection of who we are. You see all aspects of us reflected on BET. I don't think we should hold them as much accountable as we should ourselves. One of the things that I find very startling is how easy it is for us to place blame on BET and other entities, but it's just so hard for us to take up responsibility and do something about it within our own lives. All of us are in touch with a child in some way. All of us know some other parent. Sometimes it really does take a village to raise a child, and sometimes we really do need to correct one another. I think when it starts in the community, when it starts in society, we'll see a change in the media. I think that we're wasting our time to try and get them to change their programming so much as changing the cravings of the people they're trying to get the ratings from. If we try to change the craving, they'll change their ratings. Now, am I saying not to petition them at all? No. But I'm saying our focus, we really need to change our energy towards the masses rather than the media.
Right. And I think that I couldn't agree with you more. I wanted to talk about it. I'm sorry we didn't get a chance to discuss this while Dr. Chuck was still here. He has a show that he has to prepare for at 10 o'clock. But I want to just say, you know, this is something that I'm very passionate about, and people who know me know that this is something that really burns me up about the African-American people a lot of times, and the race. I love my race, but one thing that we don't do a good job of and we need to do a better job of is supporting positive programs on places like BET. We need to support black-owned movies, you know, and this is just one incident, but I think that Tyler Perry's movies are a great example, and I often blog about this topic. I think that he has to trick, you know, it literally has to trick his audience into go seeing his movies, from all the way back to Diary of a Mad Black Woman, the sequel, Daddy's Little Girls, all the movies with Madea. Those are not comedies, you know, they are not comedies. They are dramas, powerful dramas, Madea's family reunion with very strong messages that relate to self-worth, self-value, family. You know, Madea is a character in these dramas, you know, put in a scene or two for comic relief. But I think that, you know, it's a shame that when you have to get, you know, you have to market a movie strictly as a comedy that's not even a comedy to get people to go and see it. I think that says a lot about where people's values are. I think that that's indicative of the programming on BET. I think that another one of the problems there, I mean, you know, they're going to put, like you said earlier in the show, Nakia, it is a business. And people are not going to, you're not going to keep something on if people aren't watching it. You know, a lot of the programs, that the educational programs, were taken off BET because they were on at times when just frankly no one was watching it. 106 in Park is the highest rated show on BET. They play videos. So that's what they're going to show more of, you know, because it is a business. I think that it's important to, you know, on the flip side of that, ask yourself, well, they're saying, well, you know, we need to do something about BET. If it's not, they're not going to change it, let's take it off. I like to pose a question, you know, and I posed it earlier. What would happen if BET was taken off the air? You know, I mean, and this is to all the BET critics out there. Just ask yourself, what would happen if there was no BET? I think that there would be. Say again.
TV1 would take on the helm, and next thing you know, we got TV1 being BET. There's
right.
going to be somebody else that's going to do the same thing.
Exactly.
But I think that it's very important for us, like you said, to support our own. Because if, look at Tyler, as you used him as an example, how long did it take him to build such a billion-dollar empire? He's only been known for an average of about 12 years. That's unheard of. That's unheard of. And the thing, this is what we don't understand. What we don't understand is I'm just on the point where if I like it or not, I support it because it's one of ours. When you do stuff like that, you're putting people in a position to help you.
Right.
We don't have anything. We're getting better. We're doing better. We're doing very well considering how we used to be 10 years ago. We've come a good amount of way, but there's still further to go. Now we have to learn to trust in our own products, trust in our – one of the most discouraging things I heard one time when I was growing up on my block, my father is a carpenter, licensed carpenter, and – he had offered to do a job for a lady across the street. She needed an awning put on, something like that. And he gave her a quote. She said, all right. And the next day, there was a truck, I don't know, Giovanni and Sons, came out to do the work. And I'm listening at the window, and this woman said, yeah, you got to get a white man to do your work, because these Negroes out here, you don't know what they're going to do. You don't know what they're trying to do. They come out here, and they scope out your stuff. I thought that was the worst. And here
But Nikki, I mean, can I just jump in?
Am I going to
I'm sorry. You were on a and I you made a great point, but honestly though, and it, again, I love my race, but I mean, honestly, a lot of times you do have to be careful, because a lot of times, I mean, and it's sad to say, I'll use McDonald's for an example. You know, again, I know this is an unpopular view, but we all know, these are the things that we all know, but nobody wants to talk about. You know what I mean? Like, we know that a lot, we will go drive an extra 10 minutes to go to a white McDonald's, then go to a black McDonald's, because
you don't know if they're going to have,
you know, I'm not, you know what I'm saying? I will do it, because guess what?
Actually, I probably just cook.
Right.
But, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about. I want my order to be right.
Right.
I don't want to have to get an attitude from the person in the drive-thru. You know, and it's sad to say, it hurts me to have to say this about my race, but I think we all know that, you know, I went to a Rita's Water Ice the other day, and they didn't, or not the other day, but in the summertime, and they didn't even have any, I mean, it was like they didn't have any chocolate syrup. And I'm like, how do you not have chocolate syrup? You know what I mean? Or how do you, and one time they didn't have straws. How would you not have a straw at Arita's? And, you know, and I think, like I said, these are things that we all know, but it's like no one wants to talk about it. So my point is, and I'm not just trying to bash anybody, but I'm just saying this goes to Arita's, it goes to McDonald's, it goes to BET. We need to do better as a people.
Mm-hmm.
I think that one thing that Barack Obama's presidency has really shown everyone is that we all need to step our game up.
Mm-hmm.
We all need to do better. He has raised the excellence level to, you know, heights that have never been seen before. So we really need to do right by him. And you know, the things that were acceptable, like you said, 10 years ago, aren't acceptable anymore. You know, Tyler Perry should be out. We should all go see a Tyler Perry movie, regardless, you know, regardless who's in it, regardless if Madea's in it. You know, why do you think Daddy's Little Girls and the Family That Prays were his two least grossing movies? Did you were you aware of that?
No, I wasn't.
The
no,
two
I wasn't. And I love Daddy's Little Girls.
Both excellent movies, and this is for the listeners. Do you guys understand that all his Madea movies have grossed well over $30 million at the box office opening weekend? Daddy's Little Girls grossed like $9 million and went on. I mean, that was his least selling movie, not because it was a bad movie, because it wasn't marketed. It was marketed as a drama. The
right.
Family That Prays, they're saying that was one of his best movies, and in my opinion, one of his best movies, or his best movie, period, with Sanaa Lathan and all them, and that was his second least grossing movie, you know. It's just we don't support. Well, everyone loves Tyler Perry. You know, he's this great figure, you know. Let's give Tyler Perry. But we don't go to see his movies if it's something that we can't laugh at.
Exactly. And I think that's one of the other problems we have in our community. We laugh too much. We laugh too much. That's one of the reasons why when I was in school, you know, I didn't go to some of the best schools. And so I'm a geek by nature. But I was ashamed to be smart. You know, I was ashamed to be smart. I was ashamed to know the answer, and I was ashamed to want to learn more. You want to know why? Because when you ask a question, you're stupid. When you pretend to know more, you're a nerd. You get beat up. You know, and we're dealing with a culture of people who lavish in ignorance. I hate to say it, but they love ignorance. When you
right.
try to teach them things, they, oh, I'm sorry, you could do it for me, you cool, you hook me up. No! No! You know what I mean? We love ignorance. And I think that it's a very horrible thing that we put ourselves into.
One thing I wanted to touch on, too, we're going to get ready to wrap up the show in a little bit, but I wanted to touch on one thing, and it's a very controversial subject, and I wanted to get your opinion on it. A lot of people, you know, Bob Johnson, we're talking about BET, he sold BET, and, you know, for, I mean, I'm not sure about the exact number, but whatever he sold it for put him over the billion-dollar mark. You know, it made him a billionaire. So, you know, he got a lot of criticism for that, for selling BET and going on to buy a basketball team. But I wanted to talk about that for a second. He was called, you know, a sellout. You know, we need to keep stuff that's black-owned. Oh, we're going to talk about that. This may be a 3-hour show, you know. But I want to touch on that for a second, because I didn't see him as a sellout. I didn't see him as anything wrong. I think that, he wanted to, he built BET from the ground up. He made it something. Now, whether we agree with what he made it, you know, or not, that was his station. He made it what he wanted to do, you know what I mean, with it. You know, he decided, hey, look, this is the type of, you know, thing I want to build, and that's what he did. He made, he got rich off of it, and it became an opportunity for a lot of black musicians to showcase their talent in an avenue that they probably would not have otherwise had. He took that, and then he said, hey, look, I don't want to be in television anymore. I want to own a basketball team, you know. Why is that wrong? Because he wanted to, I feel like this is America. You know, you can do whatever you want to do, you know, and he wanted to own a basketball team. Owning that basketball team was made possible from selling BET. So how does that?
Do you know who he sold it to?
He sold it to some white folks.
Exactly. And I think that's my main problem. The reason why I have a problem with that, I wouldn't necessarily call him a sellout because, as you say, when you do own a business, eventually it profits and it kind of maxes out in its value as far as you're concerned. And you may want to turn it over and make a bigger profit off of it. However, I think that because of BET's unique audience and unique purpose, it was very detrimental that he sold it to a white owner because they're not going to be sensitive to our issues as they should. They're not going to be sensitive to where the funding should be, and they may turn it into something it's not. What I would, I watch BET off and on. Honestly, I've been disenchanted by hip-hop, BET, all of that for a while now, because I just think it's so empty. And BET, to me, when I was growing up, it used to be like, wow, like, do you remember Video Soul? Like, do you remember all of that stuff?
Yeah.
Like, wow. And just, it had a different atmosphere to it. Now, it looks like a black MTV. It really does. And I think that him doing that kind of, it kind of put us in a position where, once again, we had something, and now it's not our own anymore. Now they're putting on things that they think we like and they think we want. And, yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of black producers and directors. And but I'm just really concerned about the purpose of it and the dedication. Is it really for us now?
Let me pose this question to you, because you make some great points, and I understand exactly what you're saying. But this being America and him being an entrepreneur, Viacom is who he sold it to. And I don't know of any other black conglomerates, you know, and I'm not saying they don't exist. I wasn't aware of them. I'm pretty sure he went to the people that could make it possible to do what he wanted to do. Again, he wanted to buy a basketball team. He owns the Charlotte Bobcats, you know. So Viacom made it possible for him to do that. Now, I would have loved to see him.
Are the Bobcats good?
They're okay. You know what I mean? But that's what they're all right. They're not. I don't think they're. At this point, no. But I don't think that's not really the point. You know what I mean?
It is.
He wanted, but you know, he wanted to own a basketball team. You know what I mean?
All right, so he wanted to own a basketball team. But some things are worth more than money. BET is purpose, the originator, everything about it was priceless. It was priceless. One of the things Beverly Williams told me, an NBC anchor, I met her, and I told her I wanted to be an anchor. She said, honey, don't do that. And I said, why? She said, I want you to own a station. She said, we need more of us owning stations and owning the airwaves rather than being on the airwaves. And I took that to heart. I understood that to mean that we've got to stop working for people and creating the work. We have to be the ones pulling the strings for a change. BET was in that position. And for his little Charlotte Bobcats, he gave it up, and now he's not winning any games.
I think that and it's an interesting debate, and I wish the show was longer that we could. I wish the show was longer that we could, so we could debate this.
The Bulls or the Lakers.
Stop it. You know me and you can, we can debate all day. One thing, though, I think in closing, and, you know, Bob Johnson, I feel like what happened with him is indicative of the crabs in the barrel. And this, again, may be another unpopular view people may not be feeling, but I have to say it. I think that Bob Johnson was damned if he did, damned if he didn't. You know, we've been talking all show about, you know, how bad BET is and the lack of programming. And people talk about how bad BET is and has been. And he's been getting bashed his whole time at BET. So then when he goes and sells it, then he's still, you know, people are still talking about him. So really it's like, I feel like in this day and age, you have to do what's best for you. You know, like I said, if he stayed at BET, they'd still been criticizing. If he changed the programming, the ratings would go down.
The problem with BET was that it didn't have a clear picture. That was the only problem. We only wanted him to fix the picture.
No, the program. No, they wanted to fix the programming. They hated the programming.
I'm joking. BET, you know, never came in clear. Everything else was clear.
No, it did. And the volume was always extra low, too.
Yeah. You
know, right. I don't know what's going on with that. But, again, maybe that's just because it was – no, I'm going to leave that alone. We're going to not talk about that. But this has been a great show. Nakia, I appreciate you for being here, as always.
No problem.
It's been a while since we've had you on the show. But real quick, tell everybody where they can listen to you live on Wednesday nights.
Actually, I am on the show every second Wednesday of every month with the ladies of CSN. You can catch us on www.blogtalkradio.com/CSN Real Talk. However, the fellas of CSN are on every Wednesday, and we start 11 p.m., and once again, that's /CSN Real Talk.
Wow, and I just want to say I've been a guest on the Christian Singles Network a few times, and it's a great show. If you guys haven't checked it out, go back there, blogtalkradio.com/CSN Real Talk, and listen to the archives. It's a really great show. They deal with some great topics that deal with the Christian community and issues that we all have to deal with on an everyday basis. So I just want to say, Nakia, again, thank you for being here, and I'm going to be listening to you on the air.
All right, then. Good night, buddy.
All right, Nakia, take it easy.
All right.
Everyone, I've enjoyed tonight's show. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break, but we got we're not going just yet. I'm going to tell you guys about what we have coming up next week or for the rest of this week. And I'm going to play a little bit of Brother, and we'll be right back on the Dayton Tolbert Show.
Say, oh, oh, oh. Heart on this place, my pulse, and I don't know where did it all go wrong. I just couldn't see it coming. Say, oh, maybe it was all my fault. I forgot how to treat a woman. I don't know. While I was playing around, and all the while I was losing the best girl in my life for sure. About to up and walk out that door. She won't play number two anymore. Seems like the waters went dry, and I don't know why. Won't ever try to work on me. It's too late, she's gone. I'm telling her I'm ready to meet her knee. It's too late, she's gone. See, she decided to up and leave. Give her my apology. Should bring that girl back to me. It's too late, she's gone. It's too late, she's gone. Say, oh, I wanna wake myself up from this nightmare that I'm dreaming. I don't know why I took your love for granted. What the hell was I thinking? Say, oh, I'm missing everything we had. I'd do anything to get you back, yeah. I don't know how I let you get away. Guess it's the price that I pay, yeah, yeah. For sure. About to up and walk out that door. She won't play number two anymore. Seems like
like the waters run dry, and I don't know why.
Don't worry about me.
She's gone,
she's gone, she's gone.
I'm having her all ready to meet her needs.
Ready to meet her needs.
She's gone, she's gone,
she's too late, she's gone.
She decided to up and leave.
Up and leave.
Boy, I can give her my apologies.
Oh, oh, oh.
Wish I could bring that girl back to me.
It's too late, she's gone,
she's too late,
she's gone.
Like this, I wish I would have never let my baby get away. Takes everything I had, admitting my mistakes. Don't know if I can find my way without you, girl.
Should have took the time to do the little things. I wish I knew my neglect would bring you to go further away. See, now I know that it's way too late.
I'm ready to work on me.
She's gone,
she's gone.
It's too late, she's gone.
I'm ready to meet
but now
her
I'm
needs.
Ready.
Too late, she's gone, she's
ooh,
gone, she's gone.
Ooh, ooh, ooh,
ooh. She decided to up and leave.
Ready to
leave
me.
I can give her my apologies.
Ooh, yeah,
wish
yeah.
I could bring that girl back to me.
Ooh,
too late, she's gone, she's gone, she's gone. Oh, I'm telling her I'm ready to work on me.
She's gone,
she's gone,
she's gone.
Why you gotta leave me, baby?
I'm ready to meet her needs.
She's gone, she's gone, she's gone.
Oh, yeah,
she decided to up and leave before I could give her my apologies.
I'm sorry,
wish I could bring that girl back to me.
Oh,
she's gone, she's gone, she's gone.
It's too late, she's gone.
She's gone, she's gone, she's gone.
Say, oh,
it's too late, she's gone, she's gone, she's gone.
It's too late, she's gone.
This segment is brought to you by Young Family Christian Daycare, located at 429 West Culture Street in Philadelphia. In addition to top-notch daycare, they offer puppeteer classes for children. Shows are available at birthdays and private parties. For more information, contact Monica Young at 215-848-2645. Next is Always Fabulous Events, who specialize in romantic vow renewals, encore weddings, sweet 16 parties, and much more. For more information, visit www.alwaysfabulousevents.com or call their office at 1-866-653-9966, extension 123. Next is the Roots Hair Salon, which specializes in locks, weaves, haircuts, eyebrow arching, and makeup. Roots Hair Studio is located at 1604 South Street in Philadelphia. To schedule an appointment, call 215-545-5277. Next is the Dedan Tolbert Self-Published Author Spotlight. Are you a self-published author who would like to be interviewed on the Dedan Tolbert Show? If so, email your media kit to tolbert_books@hotmail.com for immediate consideration. Are you looking for a job? TB&D Enterprises is now hiring full and part-time advertising and marketing sales executives. If interested, please email your resume and cover letter to tolbert_books@hotmail.com. Finally, are you a business owner who would like to be featured on the Dedan Tolbert Show for an entire month? To become an official sponsor of the show, call our marketing department at 215-868-8742 or send an email to tober_books@hotmail.com. Discounted rates are now available.
All right, everyone, we are back on the Dedan Tolbert Show, and I just wanted to say thank you for listening and listening to me ramble on. This is what I do sometimes when I feel passionately about a subject, you know, whether you agree, whether you disagree. I think that it's important to have these discussions because, the way, you know, from talking about these things is the only way that change is going to come, you know, and stop avoiding certain situations and sweeping them under the rug and acting like they don't exist. We need to talk about them. We need to have a discussion. Sometimes we need to argue about them. So, and that's the only true way that, that change is going to come. So again, I thank you guys for tuning in tonight. We have a great rest of the week for you guys. Tomorrow we're going to be talking to filmmaker Jillian Bullock, who was actually brought up in the mafia. She grew up in the Italian mafia, and we're going to talk to her. And she was raped. She was engaged in a life of crime, and I want to talk to her about that tomorrow And that's a story. That's a huge story right there. I mean, I've never heard of someone, you know, an African American, and then a woman being raised in the Italian mafia. So we're going to be talking to her tomorrow about that. Wednesday, I know everyone was looking forward to the Selena Johnson interview last week. She was out of the country. She's apologized, but she's going to be back tomorrow. On Wednesday. February 4th, and we're going to talk to Selena Johnson about her new CD, Chapter 4, Labor Pains, and see what she's been up to the last few years. Thursday, we have national best-selling author Eric Pete on the show. He's going to be talking about his new release, and I'm excited about that. You know, being an author myself, talking to another another best-selling author, and he's going to be shedding some light on a lot of subjects in the literary industry that I think you guys will find very interesting. Fridays is always keeping it real. Fridays on the Dayton Tolbert Show. You never know what's gonna happen. You never know who's gonna pop up or what we're gonna be talking about. It's very laid back. If you guys missed last Friday's show, you want to check that out on the archives. It was a great show. I don't even want to get into what we talked about, but like I said, you can listen to the archives at www.askdayton.com and go back on there and see what we were talking about. But we got into a lot of issues that you're not going to hear anywhere else other than on the Dayton Tolbert Show. These other radio show hosts, they're not talking about a lot of the issues that we talk about, and that's why we're here. I want to bring a new perspective to a lot of things that we all deal with in the African-American community. So I'm excited about the show. Again, we are five nights a week now. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in and raising the popularity level to the point where we were in demand for five nights a week. So I definitely appreciate that. Hopefully you guys have enjoyed the show. Feel free to email comments. Hit me up on Facebook. If you're not on Facebook, you definitely need to get on Facebook. Add me as a friend and join the group, the listeners of the Dayton Tolbert Show, because every day we have these debates where we talk about these issues, and then we talk about them during the day online, then we tune in tonight, at night and talk about them on the show. So that's what's going on the Dayton Tolbert Show. Next week, I just give you a little sneak peek. We've got national best-selling author Quan on next Wednesday, and then right back-to-back, national best-selling author Miyasha is going to be on the show. So I'm really excited about that. Those are two back-to-back national best-selling authors. Special treat for you guys, and we're going to get ready to go ahead and get out of here. As the young woman pointed out, if you guys are interested in advertising your business on the Dayton Tolbert Show, you want to hit me up. We would love to feature you as an official sponsor of the Dayton Tolbert Show. We're heard nationwide, and that's basically it, guys. We're going to go. It's been a great show. Hopefully you guys have enjoyed it too. Hopefully I didn't offend anyone, but if I did, it is what it is. I can only speak my mind, but I'm going to go ahead, guys. It's been great. I'm by myself tonight, Linda B. My prayers go out to you. If you're listening, it's always tough to lose a family member. So, we can't wait to have you back on Wednesday. So I'm looking forward to her return. Also, I got to give a – before I go, I can't let the show end. A good friend of mine, known him since, known him for the last 25 years, friend Charles Watson got accepted into law school today. So, special shout out to Chuck Watson down in the Atlanta area. He's doing his thing down there. So I'm going to get ready to get out of here. On that note, I'm going to play a little Jaheim, and I'll see you guys tomorrow with Jillian Bullock. I'm going to be talking about her lifestyle in the Italian mafia and growing up and what that was like. So, again, we'll talk to you guys later. Peace. Shine like moving. I could remember, but oh, girl.
I forgot to be a lover. If it wasn't for the number five doubled up over time, then
I couldn't remember.
If it wasn't for the Sunday All-Star weekend game, girl,
I couldn't remember.
And if it wasn't for the dough, Mississippi Jesus show, girl, you know that
I couldn't remember.
But silly me, oh, tell me how could I ever forget to be your lover?
Be your lover, to me, love,
oh,
too.
Yeah.
Spend my life making up to you. Oh,
oh, I forgot to be your lover.
Starts bringing up older, and the fights keep getting worse.
Oh, bro.
I'm in numbers and numbers, can I put that one left her?
Yeah.
And you know that she ain't wearing her ring.
Oh, no.
And she starts playing little games. Come in and let my mind. You better put that one up first.
If it wasn't for the makeup on my shirt, still I'd be chasing skirts then.
I couldn't remember.
If it wasn't for that fight last night, you smashing out my head like this.
I couldn't remember.
If it wasn't for parole, steady ducking my P.O., girl, you know.
I couldn't remember.
But feeling me, babe. Tell me, how could I ever forget to be yours? Now I realize that you need love too. Live my life making up to you.
Oh,
oh, I forgot to be your lover.
Wasn't really nothing.
So kept to myself, always running.
So many games,
all that I've seen.
So many words
I need you to say.
Always think first.
Even though sometimes felt like second.
If I know God,
you know I had to learn a lesson.
Take some time,
put in some work.
If for better or worse.
Always put that on the side.
Bring it up.
Falling in love, I wasn't sure that I was. travel back in time. I'd relive the days you were mine. Even though it seems I have everything, I don't want to be a lonely fool. All of the women, all the expensive cars, all of the money don't amount to you. I can make believe I have everything, but I can't pretend it.
Without you, girl, my life is incomplete.